Blog Talk Radio.
There's a better world that's coming, tell you why. There's a better world that's coming, tell you why. We will feed them on the land, on the sea and in the sky. There's a better world that's coming, tell you why. There's a better world that's coming, don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world that's coming, don't you see?
Welcome once again, my friends, to Progressive News Network. I'm your host, News Director Rick Spezak. Got some great guests for you tonight, got some interesting news. And also, as always, I want to thank you on behalf of myself and my co-producer, Mickey Royce, for the energy that you send us and all the things that we do to try to bring some great progressive voices to you every week. Tonight, we've got Gail Foth, a communications director for Stand Up Florida. She's bringing two other folks from Stand Up. That's Tony Rosenberg and Holly Albert, both strong, committed progressive activists who are having some good information for you. Also, from War Versus Human Needs, a good friend of the show, Ed Wujek, great activist, long-time committed progressive. He'll have some good insight for you for the campaign ahead. And then a special guest, we've got Lee Camp, a progressive comedian who'll bring you some interesting thoughts toward the end of the show. So stick around. It's going to be a great show. Also, our good friends have told us about some other events you need to know about. August 4th, Hands Across the Sand. Just go ahead and do a search for Hands Across the Sand, and you'll find the nearest one close to you. Make sure you get involved because the ocean and the shore are ours unless we let commercial interests steal them away. You see the problem. It's all around you. Go get a look at the ocean. You'll see the problem. Okay, Hands Across the Sand, protect wildlife, protect sea life. Also, on the 18th of August, the Women's March on D.C. There are people going from across the state. Find out from your local women's activist group how you can get involved. Women's March on D.C., even if you can't get away, maybe you can help throw a nickel in the kitty to help them get there and to pay their expenses while they're there. Also, on the 24th, Women's Equality Day will be celebrated at FAU. Activist organizations interested or activists are interested, please get in touch with the good people over at Palm Beach now. And you can just send a email to president@pbcnow.com. And you'll find information about how to get involved yourself or how to get your organization involved. We'll be there, Progressive News Network. Also, some of the news items we want to talk about tonight. There was a wonderful event down in Hollywood. The Democrats from Florida got together and had some meetings, got together, shared some resources, and it was very interesting. We went down there and shot some interviews. They'll be on the show next week. We got a chance to interview Rob Field and Mark Ferrullo from Progress Florida and a couple other folks. You'll hear the interview, and also we'll play an excerpt of the Progressive Coalition, the Progressive Caucus meeting there at the JJ dinner and related activities. Interestingly enough, the Florida Democrats had taken it off their website several days earlier, I assume because the tickets have been sold, but still people needing information could have left it up there. But it was good to see the Progressive Coalition out there talking the talk. They invited several legislators who showed up. Fantastic people, every one of them. A great speech by Representative Bullard, who's going to be running for a Senate seat. Mark Pafford was there. Representative Scott Randolph was there. And a great meeting. And some great speeches. Okay, on the news ahead. Fukushima. Gosh, they recognized that it was a corporate-related problem, that they could have done more. And there's a real shocker. It seems that some of the systems. The regulators were aware that the risk of a total outage of electricity might occur if a tsunami were to reach the level. They knew this. They were also aware of the risk of a reactor core damage from loss of seawater pumps in the case of a tsunami larger than that assumed by the Japan Society of Civil Engineers. MISA knew that. TEPCO had not provided any measures to lessen or eliminate the risk, but failed to provide specific instructions to remedy it. They also found evidence that the regulatory agencies would explicitly ask about the operator's intention whenever a new regulation was to be implemented. For example, NSC informed the operators they did not need to consider a possible station blackout. Hey! Oh, that's an SBO. Because the probability was small and other measures were in place. It then asked the operators to write a report that would give the approximate rationale as why this was not necessary. How about that? They can write their own regs and then explain why they don't have to behave. Regulators, it said. The report also says, also had a negative attitude toward the importation of new advances in knowledge and technology from overseas. If it's not Japanese, they didn't want to hear about it. Very interesting letter from Ralph Nader in Op-Ed News just recently. It's entitled Jolting the Democratic Party from its Stupor. I just want to bring a couple of the highlights to you. He opens with, it's remarkable how the Democrats keep letting Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell intone day after day, the American people do not want, demand, or oppose this or that, to camouflage his plutocratic programs. In December 2010, with 99 senators agreeing to unanimous consent to pass the auto safety legislation, Democrats let one senator, Tom Colburn, a Republican of Oklahoma, sink it. President Obama, ready to sign this life-saving bill, declined to use his power of persuasion on Colburn, a reported close friend in the Senate. It's the Democrats' defeatism, says Nader, that's most corrosive. Veteran Democratic legislators openly tell those who ask if they don't think the party will gain control of the House in November election, though they add, the Republicans have a terrible anti-people record. Politics are about credibly answering the question, whose side are you on? And whose side is your opponent on? This means drawing a bright line between the two parties. Unfortunately, on military and foreign policy, there isn't much a difference. So the bright line will have to be on domestic issues. There's so much more in that article. It's very, very well worth reading. Progressive, you should be aware of his excellent arguments on the case. I want to go on because we've got our first guest coming up in just a couple seconds. And before we get there, I do want to also mention that the Justice Department seems to be stonewalling investigations in the banks. They said, in fact, it's getting so bad that it's obvious even to insiders that Attorney General Holder seems to be holding the line. And, of course, the joke now is that the only reason Bernie Madoff, the one guy prosecuted, the only reason he was incarcerated was because he ripped off the rich one percenters. Oh, my God, shocking. It's totally shocking. Oh, by the way, speaking of shocking, I do want you to remember that there are other great progressives on air. Think of our good friend Gwen Holden with her Here Be Monsters, Brian Stetton with his Progress Toward Democracy, our good friend Susan Nylon of the West Coast, Sarasota Talk Radio. Make sure you tune in to these and other good progressive activists who are delivering the unfiltered, non-commercial news, you know, the actual facts, those that don't necessarily serve the corporate leaders. You know, something that'll make you really sit back and think a minute. You know, our government worked so hard to help the Iraqis, you know, from their problem with the terrible Saddam Hussein. And, you know, we helped them rewrite their constitution. A couple things that our friend from Le Show pointed out just last week, and I thought that really bared sharing with you. They were excellent points. He mentions Article 30. Article 31, 32, 33, and 34. Let me read you from Article 31. This is from the Iraqi constitution that we helped them write. Article 31, every citizen has the right to health care. The state takes care of public health and provides the means of prevention and treatment by building different types of hospitals and medical institutions. Article 32 of the Iraqi constitution that we helped build. You know, boots on the ground. Article 32, the state cares for handicapped and for those with special needs and ensures their rehabilitation in order to reintegrate them into society. Oh, my goodness. And this shall be regulated by law. Article 33, every individual has the right to live in a safe environment. the state undertakes the protection and preservation of the environment and biological diversity. Article 34, and I'm going to break off after this. Article 34 says, first, an education is a fundamental factor in the progress of society and is a right guaranteed by the state. Primary education is mandatory, and the state guarantees to eradicate illiteracy. Second, free education is a right for all Iraqis in all its stages. Third, the state encouraged scientific research for peaceful purposes that serve man, supported excellency, creativity, invention, and different aspects of ingenuity. And fourth, private and public education is guaranteed. This shall be regulated by law. Gosh, wasn't that nice of us to help the Iraqis out. So, and ladies and gentlemen, I think I've got our first guest, Miss Gail Foth. Gail, welcome.
Hi, this is Holly.
Oh, hi, Holly. Welcome.
Hello, welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much. So I'm one of the helpers within Stand Up Florida.
Uh-huh.
And is Gail online yet?
Not yet, but we've got another line just lit up. Hold on one second. That may be her.
Sure.
Good evening. Welcome. This is Rick Spisak, News Director of PNN. Who have I got here?
You have Tony Rosenberg. Good evening. How are you?
Very good, Tony. Welcome. And I think Gail just showed up. Hold on one second. I'll have the three of you on.
Great.
Good evening. Gail, hi.
Great. Hi, Rick. Thanks so much for having us, and hello to your listeners.
Well, we're so glad you could join us. You know, it's always nice to see our good friends in the progressive community out there showing the flag, telling truth to power. You know, there's so many questions I have, but let me ask you, I guess, Gail, you can be the spokesperson first. Tell us a little bit about Stand Up Florida.
Okay. Stand Up Florida is a young, grassroots, nonpartisan organization, and we work to hold our elected officials accountable to the interests of the 99%. There's a large and growing income gap between the wealthiest 1% and the rest of us. So we try to bring people together to make their voices heard, and that's in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. We actually have a bumper sticker that says the 99% is too large to fail, but of course that's only if we leverage our size.
There you go. There you go. All good points. You know, the first I'd heard of you was that I heard about some folks who spoke out at an FPNL shareholders meeting. Could you talk about that?
Sure. I was going to say from your website, it looks like we have a lot in common. I mean, you have Occupy up there, and that was kind of what we spawned from, but you also have ALEC. And part of holding elected officials accountable means that, you know, everybody needs to pay their fair share of taxes. And so we looked at the Citizens for Tax Justice list of who they call the Dirty 30, and FPL is on that because they haven't paid any federal income taxes in 10 years, and they've done that all legally, but it's
because...
Well,
we're so generous, you see, as a people. There's just, you know, too much taxes collected from that 1%.
That's right. And, you know, they spend $7.7 million in the last 3 years to make sure that's legal for them to do that in lobbying and campaigns. So
no wonder the courtiers need a rate increase, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things about about Stand Up Florida is we have a lot of people who come from other things they're active in, but it kind of dovetails in. So for FPL, we did a lot of research, and we helped to organize both a inside and outside action, help people buy shares or get proxies. And we, you know, we encouraged anybody to talk about whatever bothered them, whether it was, you know, nuclear power or green energy or prices too high, but to end with no rate increase until you pay your fair share of taxes.
That sounds like an eminently reasonable position to take, I think.
Yes. And we did get quite – we did rattle their cages. We got press coverage, and they answered us back in. And then we went even further in that we went to the quality of service hearing. And I thought it was a victory because in their testimony they actually – kind of said, well, hey, we pay a lot of state and local taxes, you know, like that they're heroes for paying, you know, state taxes. So,
yeah,
but,
and on top of that, they paid $750,000 to lobbyists per quarter, and they also gave $480,000 toward candidate campaigns, and they also gave $100,000 to the Chamber of Commerce and another amount of money, which was not disclosed, to the Marshall Foundation, Wildlife Foundation, which was basically muzzle money because they did some sort of huge error, a megawatt nightmare, that would make 12 million tons of toxic emissions per year. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, we've seen before where large polluting organizations will undercut their opponents by a pittance of support funding. How can you bite the hand that feeds you? If they give you $1,000 here, $1,000 there, it's more likely than not going to shut you up. You're not going to complain so much.
Yep.
So I really salute the effort that you're doing. But, you know, and I appreciate you touching on this, but something else I always like to do is I also like to ask my guests to talk a little bit about, you know, it's so hard between making a living and spending time with family and you know, having a life, that it to me seems like it takes a special person who wants to go the extra mile in addition to all of life's complexity, try to lend a hand and do some good. So can I ask each of you one by one to kind of talk about what was it that made you be a person that wants to contribute, wants to make a better world? Can
sure.
I start with you first,
Tony,
Gail?
Okay, my name's Holly. First of all, I'm a 32-year-old sorority, I'm MSW student. I'm a master's in social work. Formerly, I'm a licensed funeral director and embalmer. What caused me to get involved in this civic life is, you know, first of all, I've traveled internationally, and I saw how things were better. I thought that America was such a great country. I think that we're all trained to believe that. But when you travel internationally, you see things that are just so much better. And then I will never forget the 2000 election where my jaw just dropped. It was democracy died that day. And, you know, I just saw a lot of my
peers. You mean when the Supreme Court got to pick the president?
Yeah, yeah. When our county, Palm Beach County, screwed up the election. And you know, it was there was a lot of apathy within my peers, and I just couldn't believe how their ideals were when it came to voting. They just did not care. Alice Paul is one of my greatest influences historically, and I really appreciate what she did and the suffragettes to allow us women to be able to vote, and I don't take that for granted at all.
Good for you, because we haven't gotten you the fair pay yet either.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, I worked so hard. I came from a very strong German work ethic type background. And my father is a union worker. And, you know, we were just taught that you get your foot in the door, you work your way up, you work hard, and you just have to be independent, and you don't ask anybody for any help, you know. And I did, you know, I worked, you know, five jobs. I worked multiple jobs, and I still had to eat out of a soup kitchen to survive. I was destitute. I lived in a real, you know, unsafe neighborhood and everything. And
sure.
And it just, everything was just getting worse. Like here in Florida, I'll give you an example. I worked for an agency as a certified nurse assistant, and they paid us $10 an hour. They did not give us any benefits. They did not pay for our license renewal, our CEUs, any sort of supplies. They did not pay us for mileage or gas reimbursement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they got sued, and to pay off that money, they slashed everyone's salary down to $8 an hour. So you can imagine, I felt like I was getting reimbursed for volunteering. There's no money in that. And
yeah.
So I just saw how things were just getting progressively worse. There was nothing out there full time. People were not offering benefits. They would hire people for 35 hours to get away with paying benefits, everything else like that. And, you know, as I mentioned, my father is a union worker, so I'm not really used to that type of work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was expecting things like pensions and, you know, health care. I was expecting to be taken care of.
Yeah, you mean like treated fairly?
Absolutely.
Like a contributing employee, sure.
Absolutely.
Not to mention the fact that you take such responsibilities in that position.
Yes.
I mean, my God, that's incredible.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel as a female that I feel that I have to work harder to compete because it almost seems like a very male-dominated workforce out there. So I always felt that I really worked to prove myself, but it just went nowhere. When
Thanks.
Occupy Palm Beach County came out, I that general meeting and I hit the door running. It was really because of them that I got out there and met other affiliates within the county. However, I felt after a while that Occupy Palm Beach County wasn't doing much. It was talking about the problem, but not doing anything toward a solution. So I kind of backed away from Occupy, and I became affiliated with a couple organizations, for example, PEACE, which is People Engaged with Action Through Community Efforts,
mm-hmm.
where I'm working to pass a wage theft ordinance here in Palm Beach County. It's pretty sad that we have to explain why stealing from employees is bad, but evidently it's been taking 4 years. Also, I'm also engaged with Move to Amend, trying
uh-huh.
to repeal the Supreme Court decision of Citizens United versus FEC. As I mentioned, I help out with Stand Up Florida. I also do things for Awake the State and also Occupy Interfaith, and which is a national organization. And I
Holly?
Also help.
Uh-huh. Holly, let me let Tony talk just for a minute too, okay? Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, could you talk a bit about what got you involved to be as an activist?
Sure. I started at a very young age. I came from New Jersey. My mother was a single parent, and she had taught me at a very young age that you shared things in life because life is tough. So I was at a very young age working in a hospital as a volunteer. I would stand on street corners, and back in the day when there was money needed to combat polio, I would stand at a very young age collecting money right here in Florida, as a matter of fact. I was living in Florida at the time, and collecting money so that we could get rid of polio and not have people be sick with that particular ailment at the time. Always has been my position to help other people growing up. I do work now and have been doing work with what they call National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. I'm a congressional district coordinator working with Washington, D.C.
Awesome.
And what they do is they go out and educate people on from all walks of life, from young to old, on issues of the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. The reason why I got actively involved in that is I have a daughter who is a behavioral therapist, went to school, worked very hard, did all of her paying of her schooling on her own and is still paying. And she had a child, and my granddaughter is autistic. She is high-functioning autistic. She does very well in school, but my concerns were that the governor and the issues of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and the things that go on across the states would take the funding away from children like my granddaughter or disabled people or seniors. So I got very active with Stand Up for Florida and many other organizations because I feel truly blessed that whatever my issues are in life, that there are other people that are unemployed, they're in foreclosure, they don't have food, there's people all over the place standing on street corners, and I want to help them. I want to make sure that they have a roof over their head and food in their belly, and that Stand Up for Florida is an organization that really gets out there to make sure that we get the issues out there to people, and I hope that they join in the efforts of helping us to make Florida and the country a better place to live in.
Okay.
And as far as Florida Power and Light, my issue with Florida Power and Light, and I was there that day, was they were very nice. They spoke of the issues that they needed to. I was a shareholder. I did speak to them and explain to them that my daughter is a single parent, and that increasing electric would be a hardship for her because of the fact that she does have a special needs child, and that seniors and people like Holly and her age group and Gail as well. We're all working people, and these issues of having things go up when our wages don't go up are not fair. They need to pay their fair share. We were thrown out from the meeting. I do want to tell you that. We were escorted out, and not very nicely as far as what I observed. And I think they could have listened a little bit better than they did, and that's why we need for people to be a little bit more understanding of the less fortunate or the people don't make the money that the corporations do.
You mean people without
I'm a firm believer that, you know, until you're in it, you don't know. You don't understand.
Well, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, let me ask you the same question. What was it in your life that made you step up?
Well, mine's pretty short. I worked for large corporations all my life, and I'm you know, getting towards the end of my career, and the economy downturned, and I, you know, was spending a lot of time applying, but I continued to work at whatever I could. But if I finally, to your point, had a little bit of time where I said, well, if I want something to change, I need to get involved. I always, you know, would watch things and, of course, vote and those kind of things. But that was it for me. I will say, just for your listeners, I think that is one of the benefits of Stand Up Florida. There's no membership. You're not required to come to stuff. We have community meetings. But if you go to our website, which is www.standupfl.org, the events are always there. If you sign our 99 voter card, if you want it by Facebook or email, we'll send them to you. But you know, there's no real commitment, but of course, you know, it's great the more numbers we bring out.
Sure.
Any event.
Well, you know, this sounds like some really interesting projects, and your people here just sound like they've got an amazing background.
Yes.
Let me ask you this: what events are coming up that Stand Up will be inviting people to?
Thanks so much. On July 24th, it's the National Day of Action to Raise the Minimum Wage. And we will be meeting in Stuart, Florida, at the corner of Cantor Highway and Federal, and we will march down to Allen West's campaign office to our goal is to deliver 1,001 petitions. And also sometime that week, it's believed there'll be a vote on the Bush tax cuts. So we will orchestrate a sit-in at a government office to be announced.
Okay.
Just because we're kind of keeping that a little under
the
lid.
Oh, sure.
And then there'll probably be some things in between, but we will definitely take a busload of people to the Republican National Convention.
Awesome.
And
don't forget, no water guns.
I will say the last 2 weeks, just so you know, this week we went to Alan West's Palm Beach office and gave him an Academy Award for his political theater on voting for the 33rd time on the Affordable Care Act while agreeing not to consider the Bring Jobs Home Act.
You know, someone needs to award him the McCarthy Award, too.
Yeah.
For that,
yeah.
looking for commies in the Congress.
Yeah.
What was it, 78 he said he saw in the progressive community?
Well, and he's been throwing around the slavery term a lot lately, too.
Sure. That's
you know, whether it be
slavery.
Yes, whether it be Social Security or that President Obama wants us to be his slaves or, you know, so we did go to his campaign kickoff in the Treasure Coast, too.
Good for you.
To ask for the increase in the minimum wage, but there were a lot of people who were there who also kind of feel like he's a carpetbagger just coming into the community. Yeah.
He thought this was a stupider area that might buy his baloney a lot easier.
Absolutely.
We're not buying it. Definitely we're not buying it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Now, obviously there's a lot of people that want to get out there. They're always looking for something to do.
Uh-huh.
How can people get in touch with Stand Up Florida?
Well, like I said, if you go to www.standupfl.org, there's a 99% voter card. Our office phone number is 561-687-8006, or you can go to info@standupfl.org is our email address.
Super.
We're on Facebook too, and Twitter.
Excellent. Let me say this. Next time you folks, whenever you have an action plan, feel free to give us a call. We'll make an announcement for you. Is there any other kind of final statement you want to leave our listeners with in terms of Stand Up's long-term goals?
We need to come together if we want to see a change.
Power in numbers.
Sounds good. Yeah, because I understand, you know, you're more than just anti-FP&L abuse. You're working for jobs and justice, and I think that's great. And the fact that you're working on this West kind of talking truth to West, which I don't know if you could actually see the truth if it bit him on the voting finger.
But we're trying. and the more people we turn
out is standing up for the people.
Yeah. The more people we get out, the better press coverage we get, the more it helps, you know, try to make people listen and feel that they have the chance to make a difference.
You know,
I had
a very interesting confrontation with Alan West, and it pretty much also is another reason what pushed me towards Stand Up Florida was I had went on a trip to Washington, D.C., and met with Alan West. And, you know, I understand that he can probably become very defensive knowing that his opponent is there to speak to him. And so, you know, I tried to ease the tension and just tried to make things very amicable. And, you know, I explained to him, you know, what it's like for us, the working people, where we don't have anything to save for a down payment. We don't have anything to save for retirement. We don't have benefits. We're working multiple jobs where we can't even have the time to spend with our families or kids or anything. And, you know, I really sensed that he was happy about that, that he was on top and people were below him. And, you know, I came to the conclusion that I felt so angered by this that I kind of vowed to myself that after that I was going to begin working with the proponent instead of against the opponent. And because at the end of the day, I need to feel more spiritually fit, because anger really transgresses and it's also very unhealthy. And I just want to make a change at the end of the day. So I really became active with Stand Up Florida, knowing that they were going through the right things, and I became active with other organizations as well for the same reason.
I've always thought it was bad form to be angry for peace.
Yeah. Right.
Great point.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me tonight, and I hope you can come back again, okay?
Thank you for having us. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, and keep up the good work. We'll be watching for
you. Thank you very much.
And we'll be listening.
Okay, thanks a lot. You ladies, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We've got a couple more news stories to get into before our next guest arrives. There are new laser scanners being installed. New Hamlin Security laser scanners reading people at a molecular level. Gizmodo reports a scanner that can read people at a molecular level has been invented. This laser-based scanner, which can be used 164 feet away, can read everything from a person's adrenaline levels to traces of gunpowder to illegal substances, and can be done all without a physical search. It can be used on multiple people at a time, eliminating random searches at airports. The inventor of this invasive technology is Genia Photonics. Active since 2009, they hold 30 patents on laser technology designed for scanning. So it's not just full-body x-rays anymore, folks. Imagine being done from 164 feet away. Genia Photonics wouldn't be the only ones with similar technology, as George Washington University developed something similar in 2008. Russians also developed something akin to picosecond programmable lasers. The creators of that scanner claim it's even able to read and detect the traces of explosives left by fingerprints. Well, we've got our next guest here. This is the charming and talented Mr. Ed Wujek. Welcome, Mr. Ed.
Well, hello, Rick. How are you this evening?
Very good, sir. Very good. I'm so glad we could welcome you tonight. You've been involved in so many wonderful projects, Ed. And let me ask you that question that I ask everybody who joins me here. What was it? What was it in your life? I know you live a busy life. You have a family. You work a very busy schedule. And yet you find time to help make this a better world. Ed, talk about yourself for just a minute.
Well, you know, as far as I'm kind of an old peace and love hippie, really the one person I have to thank for my activism is Lyndon Johnson, because he, during the late 60s when I was getting out of college, I looked at what he was doing and I said, what? and so since then, I've been trying to pay attention to what's going on around me and finding it pretty wanting a lot of the time. I had a life and I worked and I brought up a family, and that's kind of gets in the way of political activity. But now that I'm more or less retired, I have more time to devote to this, and I've decided that that's a worthy way to spend my time. The title of your show, Speaking Out, reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from my all-time hero, Martin Luther King.
Go ahead.
What he said was, there comes a time when silence is betrayal. And whenever I think, I'll let that go, I remember that. And that's a real spur to action. And it reminds me that we all have to stick out our necks, open our mouths, and try to make the world a better place.
You know, Ed, that's such an excellent quote, and Dr. King is one of my heroes of all time, too. I consider him very instrumental in my own activist work. I spoke to someone the other night, and I want to bounce this off, because I'm sure you've talked to people who think this way. This woman was telling me that, you know, she just doesn't want to hear about politics. She can't stand it. It makes her mad. It raises her blood pressure. So she just tunes it out. And my thought back to her was, you know, it's really a shame in a way that you're ignoring it, because these are the ways our society evolves. There are currents in our society that either improve or degrade what's possible for a regular life, and it just seemed to me that it's a very high price to pay for a peaceful mind. And I know I've known you for many years, and I know you to be the kind of person that would give the shirt off your back and help anybody. Your very work was helping people every day. And how do you answer people who say to you, you know, I just don't have time for politics. There's just nothing in it that I enjoy.
Well, I can certainly understand. I mean, the political environment in our country has become so polarized and so toxic and so nonsensical. I mean, it's really stupid. And so if you're an intelligent person who means well, you look around and you go, this has nothing to, you don't know what to do. It's like, you know, jumping in with the alligators or something like that. Because how do you affect change? How do you have any influence at all? And it's hard to know. On the other hand, I guess a lot of us just feel that, well, we have to try. And that's
yep.
what it amounts to. And I certainly can sympathize with this woman's, with her thoughts. I mean, it's a freak show. but it's the freak show that this is the way we seem to be governing ourselves right now. And so if we want to have an effect, this is where we have to play.
Yep. If you leave the field to the fools, what kind of game can you expect?
Right.
Well, Ed, you're here to talk about war versus human needs and the other activities you're working on. Tell us, Ed, what's new?
Well, actually, I'd like to talk about war versus human needs and the candidate questionnaire that we put together back in April. Very quickly.
Excellent questionnaire.
War versus human needs was started by some people in the North Broward, South Palm Beach area back in 2009. And it started out as Rethinking Afghanistan after the film of the same name. And what they did was got together and talked about the political issues involved and showed that film, I guess, about 25 times to a lot of people. And so they got a lot of people involved and sort of came up with not exactly a movement, but a group of like-minded people who were interested in these issues. It turned into War versus Human Needs about a year later, and kind of turned into a study group of people who were just trying to understand the world and have some effect upon it. I got involved in it not that long ago when Bob Bender, who was one of the guys who started it, called me up and said, hey, we're going to do a candidate questionnaire for the 22nd Congressional District. Now, this is where Alan West used to be before he fled to go up your way. but anyway, it became a race with no incumbent. And so we thought, this is a way that maybe we can have some influence here. So several of the people from War versus Human Needs put together a questionnaire. And the questionnaire was aimed most specifically at issues relating to war versus human needs. So it's a lot of foreign policy, a lot of defense, a lot of civil liberties, things like that. But it's really good questions. I wouldn't call them gotcha questions, but I'd call them thought questions. And so what we decided to do was to submit this questionnaire to the two Democrats who were running for the seat, Kristen Jacobs and Lois Frankel. I know Kristen Jacobs has been on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we called, this is back in April, we called them, we said, hey, we're going to be sending this to you, we'd like to do that, we'd like to, you know, get together with you, we'd like to get buddy-buddy, we'd like to work together, and, you know, we'd like to support you if you're thinking right. And so what actually happened was pretty much nothing. We submitted the questionnaires, and both the Jacobs and the Frankel campaigns, for a while, they were saying, well, you know, we're thinking about it. ultimately, neither campaign responded. And I, as it turns out, I actually met with Kristen Jacobs' campaign manager a month or so later. And I introduced myself as the guy who'd sent these questionnaires. And I said, what's up with this? You never responded. How can, you know, we're trying to be involved in our, the political life of the country here, but you're not doing your job. And what she said was that they get 30 to 40 questionnaires from various organizations of various types, and that they have to basically prioritize their time and answer what they can answer, and the rest of it they can ignore. And what that really means is that if they get a questionnaire from the NRA or the AFL-CIO, they're going to fill it out, because that means votes. If they get a questionnaire from War Versus Human Needs, it goes to the bottom of the pile and stays there. And so the in a sense, the project was a failure because no one responded. On the other hand, what we did come out with was a few names in the Rolodex and a list of very interesting questions. And so one of the things I would like to do right now is offer, these are questions that we think that questions that need to be asked and questions that should be answered by congressional candidates. And so anyone who is interested in getting a copy of these questions, please send an email to the following email address, warvhumanneeds@gmail.com. If you send an email to that address and ask for a copy of the questionnaire, you'll get it. And so what we'd like to do is to take these questions, which we spent quite a lot of time putting together, and have them be asked. And if that happens, then that's a success. And what we'll do in the next campaign, I don't know. The whole subject of elections is a very touchy subject among the progressive community. There are some people who think that elections are a complete waste of time because it just distracts from what we really should be doing, which is making a revolution. There are other people, a fellow I met in Washington, D.C. last October, he said that he really wants to thank Barack Obama, because what Barack Obama proved was that elections don't do anything. And obviously referring to the fact that the Obama administration is uncomfortably like the Bush administration. And so voting for change doesn't necessarily get you change. And then I heard an interview with Noam Chomsky recently. Someone asked him, who are you going to vote for? And what he said was he lives in Massachusetts, which is going to go for Obama. But he said if he lived in a swing state, he would very seriously consider voting for Obama. And so I'm not necessarily pushing a point of view, but elections haven't been very helpful lately. And so I'm not quite sure what to do about that. I mean, obviously, War Versus Human Needs is involved in elections. We're trying to deal with our elected officials. But we're under no illusions that we're about to change the world. We're just trying to push things in our direction. If we get a couple yards, we're doing good.
Well, with the expansion of American troops in Africa, the saber rattling that continues and continues and continues with Iran, and God knows how many secret drone strikes there are in a variety of countries. You'll probably be in business for a while with that agenda.
Don't forget the Pacific.
I'm sorry?
Don't forget the Pacific.
Yes, and of course Central and South America, where we don't have any serious wars going on.
Right.
Just a good, steady stream of blood so that we can continue to sell arms more than anybody else on the planet.
I know we're at the end of my time here, but
yes,
what I'd like to do, I'd like to put in one plug that I was asked
to
put in.
Sure.
The Veterans for Peace which is a wonderful, radical, revolutionary organization, is having their national convention in Miami in early August. And so I'm a member because I met people in Washington, D.C. that impressed me so much that I had to go back and send them money. So anyway, anyone who is interested in meeting some real heroes, check out the Veterans for Peace and consider going to their convention.
You don't have the date handy, do you?
It's, I think, the 8th to the 12th of August.
Okay.
But the thing
to
do is go to the website.
Sure. Well, Ed, thank you so much. Not just for your appearance here, but for all the work that you do, my brother. You're one of the finest human beings I know, and I just have to thank you from all my heart.
And thank you, Rick. Thanks for providing a forum for us troublemakers.
Okay, brother. Keep the faith. Just to bring a smile to your face, I wore my 2008 button that said "Healthcare Now" to yesterday's JJ dinner down in Hollywood.
Yeah,
and it brought some smiles, some of which are more ironic than others. And when people asked me about it, I said, well, you see, since we're in campaign season again, I figured that this button is valid and we're all pro-union again, you know, till the election. But it did bring some ironic smile. So, my friend, thank you again for all the work that you do. And don't ever hesitate to let us know. Maybe you can come back and give us a report on the veterans event in Miami. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks, Rick. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring you a little something different. I've got a progressive comic, Lee Camp, is going to do a little bit now, and I think it'll bring a smile to your face. Lee Camp.
This is your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. In Plato's cave allegory, he speaks of prisoners who have been locked in a dungeon their entire lives. They know nothing of the world except the shadows cast on the wall in front of them. Soon they don't realize they're only looking at shadows, and that becomes their reality. The question is, are we the prisoners in the cave now? We now spend roughly 15 years of our lives immersed in TV and video games that have nothing to do with what's going on in the world. There are global protests right now, and many of us are more caught up in football games or cooking shows, the football game or the other football game, and after that there's a football game and then a fucking football game. And the problem is, people exhaust their natural anger about what's going on in the world in easier ways. Their kid is sick without health care, they're behind on their home payments, but they're furious because the Red Sox lost. This is bullshit! Shut up, Kenny! Stop whining about your Lyme disease! Daddy's busy with his misdirected anger. You should learn from this and go misdirect your anger. Beat up your sister or something. So I've got an idea. Maybe if the protests or the environmental destruction were covered by sports announcers, people would finally give a shit. And here we are, back at the protest down on Wall Street. The cops have clearly been training in the off-season. Wait, some of the protesters are button-hooked over the unmanned side. They jumped the barricade. The police have pulled out pepper spray. But the protesters have masks. They could go home. No. The police just beat the shit out of their star player, an 85-year-old granny for peace. She'll have to be carted off the field. Looks like the men in blue will take this round, successfully protecting the criminal activity of their owners in the ivory towers. Join us back here tomorrow when the protesters try a new tactic of aggressive singing and the cops try out tasers. I don't know why that sports announcer was in the 1950s, though. Anyway, the point is, we are watching the gladiators while Rome is burning. There's a reason ultimate fighting is now more popular than ever. And, I mean, you see 300 pounds. Can we make a rule that if you're a 300-pound, morbidly obese dude in a McDonald's, you can't be wearing a tap-out t-shirt? You can't wear a tap-out t-shirt when you yourself would tap out halfway through a rigorous jumping jack. Anyway, there's a real-life battle waging out there, and instead, most of us are watching the Avengers. Don't get me wrong, I saw the Avengers. I'm not saying don't watch the shit, I'm just saying don't watch all of the shit. If the Incredible Hulk had used his anger screaming at the television because the Lakers had lost, instead of beating up the assholes, mankind would have been fucked. That's the message I got from the Avengers. Plato pondered, if the prisoners were taken out of the dungeon and shown the real world, would they be able to handle it, or would they be so overwhelmed they'd run back into the dungeon and flip on the new season of Shadows on the Wall? I have faith in all of you. Step out into the light. That's your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. I'm coming to Los Angeles, finally, doing a fun, my full-length live show, Saturday, July 14th. Coming up soon. Get your tickets at LeeCamp.net/schedule. Also, check out my brand new live album, Pepper Spray the Tears Away, anywhere music is sold. If you want a free track from that album, simply email PepperSprayTheTearsAway@gmail.com. Thanks. Keep fighting.
Okay, that was LeeCamp. We tried something a little different, add a little comedy to our show, in addition to the antics of the one percenters. Another interesting story you should know about. Representative Dave Dreyer, a Republican of California, said that insurance companies should be allowed to discriminate against people with brain tumors. He said this during a House Rules Committee regarding the debate of the GOP bill repealing the Health Care Act. The law, which Republicans will vote on to eliminate Wednesday, included a provision prohibiting insurance companies from turning away sick people. Dreyer's words, "And I believe that my state of California has a structure in place to deal with pre-existing condition. It's pooling process, which I think is one worthy of consideration, because while I don't think that someone who's diagnosed with a massive tumor should the next day be able to have millions and millions and millions of dollars in health care provided, I do believe that there can be a structure to deal with the issue of pre-existing conditions." Just nothing that, you know, he wants to vote on. Another story, there was a discussion of a blowback where it's perfectly fine for the exceptional country to send missiles to foreign lands because, of course, that technology could never be duplicated and could never be used. What if one day, it says, based on the U.S. logic, UK should be able to come over to the U.S. and level Boston, invade New York, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts for the third or fourth time, because after all, you know, we stole this country from them. Also, another interesting article. This is by an excerpt of Kevin Gazdola's article in Op-Ed News. Killer capture, it's called. Torture and detain indefinitely, the partisan disagreement on the war on terror. Presidency of Barack Obama has entrenched many of the counterterrorism policies of President George Bush in the national security state and helped to cement further bipartisan consensus on these policies. However, there is one vile aspect of which conservatives and center-left individuals disagree, and that's on whether to outright kill suspects or not. But it's not about the absence of due process. Oh, no. Republicans or conservatives contend that intelligence is being lost, and it'd be better to capture, torture, and hold the suspects indefinitely. This agreement was highlighted recently on Morning Joe on MSNBC that morning when Tom Juneau appeared on the program to talk about his latest article for Esquire, The Lethal Presidency of Barack Obama. Appearing on the show to discuss Obama's escalating use of drones was a centrist Democrat Harold Ford and neoconservative pundit Dan Senor. Well, listen, as we round out the evening, I want to thank you on behalf of myself and my colleague and co-producer Mickey Royce, without whose help these shows could not be produced. I want to thank all my guests, Gail Faith, Tony Rosenberg, Holly Albert of Stand Up Florida, also from War Versus Human Need, Ed Wujek, and, of course, the comedian, the progressive comedian, Lee Camp. I'm your host, Rick Spezak. Thanking you for joining us tonight. And again, I want to remind you, listen in to our friends Gwen Holden Berry on Here Be Monsters, our friends Brian Stetton with Progress Toward Democracy, and Susan Nylon with her show every weekday night in Sarasota on sarasotaradio.com. Also, don't forget, August 4th, Hands Across the Sand. August 18th, Women's March on D.C., and August 24th, Women's Equality Day at FIU. So if you want to participate in any of these activities, just look for the clicks online. Hands Across the Sand will be at beaches near you. Women's March on D.C. If you can't go, that's okay. You can still throw a penny or two in the pot, help them defer their expenses. And then, of course, Women's Equality Day at FAU. You can always join in. And if you have an organization who wants to help, just contact Palm Beach Now. And you can email them at president@pbcnow.org. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week when there are more progressive voices here at Progressive News Network. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you.